the gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. Gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Hey, Mary Dean, different strokes for different folks, right?
And so on and so on.
And Scooby Dooby Doo.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't remember?
Sort of. That's what came next.
We're going to have to reacquaint ourselves with some of these culturally iconic groups and songs. Sly, the Family Stone. Anyway, here's somebody singing a song of Universal Sabbath.
Okay.
He's, I don't know if he's down with the different strokes thing. He is with the different strokes thing, but he's saying we ought to, you know, all come together. He's saying the whole world is waiting to sing a song of Sabbath. Sounds like that old Coca-Cola commercial. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Remember that one?
I do.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Yes.
Something.
That would solve everything.
Well, I mean, yeah. Coca-Cola could. No, only Jesus can solve everything.
Right.
Yes, so I'm quick to say that. But listen, here's what's happening. My internet went out, and so I walked across the street, nabbed my neighbor's newspaper, and
with
permission, he's out of town. He said, "Hey, get the paper for me." He didn't want it in his driveway. So found this article. It's like, okay, this would be good to talk about.
Yes, so that's on the Dean List. Think about it list today.
The Dean Let's Think About It list. Hopefully it's a full list and not a partial today. But listen to this. He starts off by talking about, you know, he was a wannabe hippie in San Francisco in 1968. I was a wannabe hippie in 1968, but my dad wouldn't let me.
You're a little too young.
I know.
He took you to the barber shop.
Yeah, that's right. Man, I had some hair too until he took me to the barber shop. It was a regular visit in those days. Anyway, he says they daily gather at the house of love and prayer, and they would lustily sing, clap, stomp, whistle as they sang a song of Sabbath. And, okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. And he goes on. He says, those were heady times. And he says, look, we at the house, we were not into smoke. We were not into free love. I mean, that's good. Commending for that. He says, but we rose heavenward in the magic of Kabbalah.
Hmm. What is that?
I guess, was Madonna there? I don't know. She's a little, is she that old? I guess she is that old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she's older than me.
Yeah, a little bit.
How about that? Yeah, just a little bit. So Madonna might have been there, I don't know. But anyway, they did this dance stuff. He says, you know, we rose heavenward in the magic of Kabbalah, fervent prayer, dancing, singing to spirit-infused melodies of universal shalom, universal peace, elevated even higher by the celebration of Sabbath. How about that?
That means rest?
Yeah,
universal,
well, universal
rest
or peace.
Is that what he's
What he's talking about is we all got together, we were celebrating and praying for and longing for world peace, universal peace and harmony. The Coca-Cola thing.
Okay.
Peace and harmony. Anyway, we got to pull that song sometime.
Okay.
But anyway, he says, now all this during a decade that could easily have turned us from Aquarian idealism. You know what Aquarian idealism is?
Fifth pontificate,
dimension, fifth dimension, Age of Aquarius.
All kind of ideas.
These are things we've talked about on the broadcast. Wow. Okay.
Refresh my memory, and I'll say, oh,
just,
yeah.
We played the song.
Yes, we did.
Remember?
Yes.
Age of Aquarius.
Okay.
When the moon. I'm not even going to do that.
When the stars line up,
yeah,
and all these crazy things.
Jupiter lines up with Mars.
Okay.
Peace and harmony, see?
Yes, I got you.
So he says they lived during a decade where Aquarian idealism could have been turned to cynicism. Misbegotten war, the filth of racism, discrimination, and every freedom from housing to education, a draft that devastated our youth. Well, that sounds like a fallen world,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like good reason to long for universal shalom. Hang on, Mo, got something to say about it. He says, yes, we did our share of protesting, but whenever we got together at the house of... prayer,
faith,
the house of love,
faith and love,
prayer,
oh,
yeah,
prayer
love and
love.
Prayer.
Okay.
You know, we went out of that and we went into, what does he say? Our highest vision was to call out ceaselessly, sing joyous melodies, share wonder stories, and pray for the universal Sabbath, the apex of a world of shalom. Now, half a century later, the Sabbath is still not just a Jewish thing. Now, that's his point.
Okay.
See, and that's what brings us to the broadcast. Half century later, this isn't just a Jewish thing. This Sabbath thing that he's talking about still calls for universal celebration of weekly respite. So it's not a Jewish thing or even a Christian thing. It's a universal thing. You with me so far?
Okay.
All right. A day dedicated to rest, renewal, and strength in spirit, prayer, song, family, fellowship. Jesus and his disciples joyously observed it. The Quran and all the world's other sacred texts and teachers prescribed it as the foundation of faith. And so the whole world is waiting to sing a song of Sabbath. We are all heirs to that song, he says. Now, again, this isn't my view. I'm just reading.
Okay.
Hang on. We're going to get to some commentary. So here's his question. This is the point of his piece here. Have we ever tried singing it together? Everyone united by the vision of Sabbath. A chorus of universal at-oneness.
I thought it was about Jesus.
Well, it is. Now, he's not a Christian,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I know.
But did you hear that little comment? Universal at-oneness. Well, yes, not only oneness, but at-oneness.
Ah, okay.
That's how we usually... sort of define from time to time the concept of atonement.
Mm.
Atonement, at-one-ment. The Lord Jesus Christ atoned for our sins and made us at one with Him, with God, and with one another, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a universal thing. There's no universal at-one-ment. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not at one with... the Muslims. I'm not. I don't hate them. But in what sense am I at one with them? But see, this is what he's calling for. Now, this is nothing new. This is not really the point that we're going to make. We're just setting it up here. But here's what he says. Have we ever tried this? This chorus of universal at oneness, raising our determination to create a forever world of love and shalom. Now, how do you create that world? That's the question. See, so when preacher, that's what I get called when people disagree with me, you don't believe in creating a world of love and shalom? Well, of course I do, but the question is how? And we can't do it ourselves. We can't build another Tower of Babel here.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
This is Babel Boy. Not like he's babbling idiot. He's like a Tower of Babel.
Grasping for the wind.
Yes, thank you. So anyway, they've got a little group, and they're called Meeting Point, and they're extending an invitation to everyone, kids and adults. Listen to this. All creeds, all faiths, all races, all lifestyles. Got to include that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. We're inviting everybody to lift your spirits and celebrate a wonderful universal Sabbath, joining in casual prayer, song, storytelling, breaking bread. See, all of these are laden with
ritualism,
with religious imagery.
Mm-hmm.
My brain doesn't always work. Where's Ben Carson? Needs some brain work. He could do it, and he ought to be paid for it. let's see. Joining in all this stuff, breaking bread discussion, kids fun. Got to do the Baptist thing. Now we got to have some fun for the kids. And recharging the spirit. And in case you didn't get the kid fun, let me say this. Very kid-friendly. So he adds that.
Yes.
Yeah. Must be reading the average church sign in front of the average Baptist church. Anyway, probably something we've never tried before in fellowship with friends from a buffet of faiths.
Okay.
Buffet of faith. Now, I'm done with the article except for one thing.
All right.
Now, this came out of the newspaper out of my neighbor's driveway. So it's a local thing.
Okay.
With universal implications. Get it? They're holding this thing at Earl Street Baptist Church. Wow. Now, I want to talk about four things the rest of the show.
That was your think about it list. How should we think about it?
Yeah, let's think about the Sabbath, number one.
Okay.
Let's think about universal peace and how to achieve it, number two. Let's think about what is the motivation of this thing, number three. And then number four, let's be offensive.
You? No, I'm joking.
Yeah. And I mean
the gospel's offensive.
That's where I'm coming from.
That's right.
I mean that in a good way.
That's right.
But how, practically speaking? I got some advice.
All right.
For Christians everywhere. So believe it or not, on this rarest of occasions, it's a rare thing for me. I've actually got a point that I want to make to the people listening. I got something I want them to do.
Ah, okay. Not just think. You want them to do now.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right. I always want you to
know,
have a
you're
point.
Right. That's
and always
right.
Want to think and do. But Christy, you know, she says, Dad, where are we going? You should hear it in here during the break. It's like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about universal peace and shalom. I'm talking about, you know, we all got to live together. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
We gotta get to come together and sing Kumbaya and the whole bit. Now, there's a right way to do that. Huh?
Yes, there is.
There's a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. Well, we won't talk about
there's
the right
way.
There's a futile way. There's a futile way. That's exactly right. And we don't believe in racism. We don't believe in hatred, right? We don't believe in indiscriminate killing of people. We all got to live together. But you know how people can have real life in Jesus Christ. That's what we'll talk about on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
How to help your kids' phone addictions. Author and speaker Dr. Sylvia Hart Free.
I talk with a lot of students who tell me that their parents are the worst. You know, that the parent is the one that's, you know, they've got their face buried in their phone.
Join us as we talk about the uncomfortable facts of media life. Next time on License to Parent.
License to Parent every Monday at 11 a.m. on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Family Safe Home Security connects callers to licensed alarm sales providers. Activation and installation charges may apply. 3-year minimum monitoring contract required.
Attention moms, dads, and anyone worried about the safety of your home. Crime is rising, so you better protect your home from break-ins, burglary, or vandalism. Introducing the Family Safe Home Security Startup Deal. Get up to $1,000 of free home security equipment when you call now. Call 800-708-2290. 800-708-2290. Call now for up to $1,000 of free equipment.
I called Family Safe Home Security, and we have peace of mind now.
Once I called, I felt safe. I can even control our home security from my phone.
Reduce the risk of break-in using the latest technology. Call Family Safe Home Security and get up to $1,000 free equipment with the Family Safe Startup Deal. Call 800-708-2290. 800-708-2290. 800-708-2290.
The United States Army proudly presents the United States Army Field Band and Soldiers Chorus. Come hear the musical ambassadors of the Army in a free concert on Saturday, October 17 at 2 p.m. in Rodehaver Auditorium on the campus of Bob Jones University. For more information, please call 864-241-1634 or visit armyfieldband.com. That's armyfieldband.com.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archived broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, now look, Mary, we got to fly.
All right.
We got like 13 minutes here, and I got like 11 points to make. You know, I had the four broad ones, but like I got eight subs under number four. So we have to dispense with the first three fairly quickly.
All right.
First one, just theological, okay? We're talking about the Sabbath a little bit. There's no such thing in the here and the now, universal Sabbath.
Okay.
Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. But let's think about the Sabbath very quickly. You have the creation Sabbath. I won't call it a creation mandate because nowhere in the creation account is it mandated for human beings, by the way. It just says God rested. It's God's Sabbath. Hello? Anybody want to stick to the text?
Okay.
I have that dumb look on my face again.
Yes, you do.
It's radio. So I'm just telling the people. So then you get the Sabbath regulations under the Old Covenant.
Yes, you do.
Fourth commandment for the Jewish people, nation of Israel, earthly covenant, separated them from the nations round about them. Okay, so you got that deal going on. So that,
on
that
Saturday,
wasn't that wasn't for everybody. It was for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
For the Israelites.
Saturday.
On Saturday. And now in the New Covenant, guess what? There is no such thing as the Christian Sabbath.
Uh-oh.
I know. So let's quit talking about it, please. Now, if you want to say, well, in the Christian Sabbath, isn't it Jesus? Well, yeah, that's the Christian Sabbath. It's not a day. See, the day is a type. The Old Covenant Sabbath is a picture. It's a shadow. This is what the Apostle Paul says. But when the reality comes, that the shadow is done away. Hebrews chapter 4, very clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. Salvation is our Sabbath rest. We're resting from our works. It's all about grace. Now, do I worship on Sunday with the body? Well, I do.
Yes.
Because it's convenient.
And we're supposed to gather together.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Yeah. I like gathering with the people anytime. Anytime.
But
you know, our culture still says, hey, listen, most of us don't work on Sunday, so we can go to church. Hey, I'm good with that. But you know what? If you got to work, that's fine. As long as you love Jesus and meet with the brethren
sometime,
some other time, Why? Not to follow a legalistic code of conduct, but to get encouragement, to go out and do battle. That's why we gather together, worship God, and spur one another on to love and good works. And
that's
so much
right.
The more as we see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. Jesus is coming. All
our
right.
Final rest, yes.
Yes, all right. Now, that's number one. Now, it's not as quick as I would have liked, but it's quicker than I thought.
That's true.
Number two, universal peace. Only when Jesus comes. We've
that's
already
right.
made that point, so I can sort of skip that. You can't have a human-induced universal peace. There's no such thing
that's
as long
right.
as we got sin in the world. Even if you could have some kind of relative peace, it wouldn't be real peace.
It would be very thin, very fragile.
It wouldn't be the shalom this guy's talking about. There's no shalom apart from Christ. But
you got the paper sound going on.
Newspaper.
Yes.
Yeah. Usually got my iPad. I could bang it on the desk or something. But that would break it, so that's why I don't do it. Now, universal, kumbaya, and then that's not, what was that going to do? All right, now here's the third thing. He's got a motive. So what's the motive? He doesn't say. Well, he wants peace. Okay, so that's part of the motive. But why everybody? Why a buffet of faiths? That's what he said. We're all going to come together. What's the motive? Well, let's build this tower. We can be God.
Mm.
He probably wouldn't say that, though.
Yeah, or but probably didn't really think that. Yeah.
But that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what would be his motive? I mean, I don't know. I mean, let's speculate. I mean, you...
Well, he's reaching for something you cannot attain.
That's right.
With just mere exercises.
But apparently he thinks
he does think he can.
Why? See, he thinks that, well, we can all just agree to disagree.
Yeah.
We could, or maybe we all worship the same God.
That's what he's implying, yeah.
Or if we don't all worship the same God, we can set aside those little disagreements and achieve peace on our own. I mean, he's got to be thinking something along these lines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to know something that's offensive?
Okay.
That is offensive. Now, I'm not one of those guys that sits around feeling microaggressed against. I don't really care. I mean, I want this guy to come to Jesus. I do, you know, and I'd love to talk to him about the Lord, and I care about his soul. I care about
that.
A real
peace, yes.
All right? But the point I'm making is when people say things that are offensive or that should be offensive to me, I really don't worry about it too much. You know what I mean? I'm not up in arms. I'm not going public. I'm not, you know, getting the government involved. I'm not, you know, pulling out old Bessie, my shotgun. I don't know why I called her old Bessie. Say.
Oh, yeah, you did have one way back.
Yeah. 12 gauge. Anyway, Browning automatic. I ought to call it old Browning.
Yes.
Old Brownie. I got a Winchester rifle,
right,
too. Did you know that? It's got a gold star. Anyway, I better be quiet. Somebody's going to come looking for
You're
me.
Not going to get through your list either.
I know it. Among some other, anyway. Let's see. So, since that's offensive, now let's really be offensive.
Okay.
Now, and by that, I mean two things. Number one, you said it a minute ago. What'd you say?
The truth is offensive.
The truth is offensive. And a lot of people, we shouldn't say, you know, that because it's offensive.
Or keep it private.
We shouldn't preach the gospel because it's offensive. Well, Jesus said, the apostles said it was offensive. And in love, we speak it, though, because it's the only way for folk to be saved, right?
That's right.
We're not trying to hurt people's feelings. I personally don't want to be an offensive person. So I talk boldly here on the radio. I mean, there's nobody in here but me, you, and Gary. I get out eyeball to eyeball. I'm like,
you
five
know, listeners.
I'm like
yeah.
a kitty cat.
Yeah. You that know? Is true. I'm
yeah.
sometimes more bold out in public.
Oh, you are. Oh, my goodness. We got to clean up the mess you make. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. The second thing I mean by that, though, this is the last point on my little eight-point thing here under let's get offensive. Let's
okay.
be offensive. I might write a blog on this.
That would be good.
But the last point is our culture needs to get used to being offended. And I'm going to combine that with one of the first things on my list. We're going to talk about these two and then come back and talk about some other things. But what I mean is, let us agree to be offended privately, but not publicly. In other words, let's agree to private offendedness, not public offendedness. You know what I mean? I'm going to explain it if
okay,
you don't.
Okay, explain that.
Okay, let's say somebody says, Here's an illustration, and you've heard this before, my congregation's heard it before, but I haven't, you know, dealt with this on the radio, okay?
Okay.
All right, but we're involved in a swim league, and every, you know, not every, but a lot of the swim meets, they'll have, you know, somebody come up and pray. But what they do is they read a prayer, and it's a poem, which belittles prayer already. You see now you're worried about cleaning up my mess, but that's okay.
But it's true. But and the people that and, know you don't like don't read the poem.
And the prayer is so benign. And then of course at the end we're not really praying to anyone in particular, just God.
Just universal shalom.
Universal shalom. That's exactly right. All right. So I don't like this prayer.
Yes, I know.
All right. Now let me go one step further. You're at the football game and you're invited to pray. Don't pray whatever you pray and then simply say amen. Don't pray one step further. Don't pray whatever you pray and then simply say in his name, in your name, in the name of God. Well, who are you talking about? You see what I'm getting at?
Okay.
Okay. Let's be offensive. Here's why. But let's not go public with it. What do you mean? Let's not get all bent out of shape about it. What do you mean? All right. If I hear a Buddhist at the football game pray, and he prays to the benign God,
okay?
Or, you know, just God, or a Muslim, or a Jewish person, or a Christian. See, that's what's offensive in a public sense, because now, you know, what you're saying is we all agree to pray to this non-existent God. I didn't agree to that. Then you say, All right, so what I'm saying is that the Buddhists pray to Buddha. I don't even know how they pray.
They probably gods don't. Of themselves.
I know.
So trying
but the Muslims, let him pray
oneness,
to his God.
Whatever.
Let, you know, somebody else pray to their God. Now, that's going to be offensive to a lot of Christians there, for example. In one sense, it should be. Mm-hmm. But let's not get up in arms about it. What we've done is, and everybody's clear who we're talking about. Well, they prayed that, but I didn't pray, but he was invited to pray, so he prayed. Well, guess what? Next time I'm invited to pray, I'm going to pray to the real God. I'm going to pray to Jesus. And you know what? The Buddhists and the Muslims and the Jews are going to be offended, but they need to keep it to themselves, just like I'm going to keep it to myself. Why? Because this is a civil society. It's not the church.
So why can't they come together and sing together?
The point, there's no such thing.
Okay,
that's my point.
You're
there's
right.
no such
okay.
thing as universal prayer, universal shalom, the benign God, the non-existent God. Prayer is not prayer unless it's sectarian prayer.
Mm.
It's not even prayer. It's stupid. It's babble.
It's futile, yes.
It's idiotic babble. So this guy is a babbling idiot. And I mean that in a biblical way, not an ugly way. I only got 2 minutes, Gary. Okay, he's going, praise God. Can I cut it to one? This is what I'm saying. No benign
You're
going
to tell us to do something, so
I
get
am.
It real quick
so
before
saying,
time runs
and,
out.
And when we pray and talk about religion
yes.
publicly.
Do in Jesus' name. Yes.
Let's be honest. See,
that's
I'm
right.
calling all of us, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus,
and don't
Christians,
hide who you are. Yes.
Honesty. And see, that respects everybody's faith in the civil society. Doesn't mean that I agree with your faith,
but it
means
lets
that I'm
you
give
have
you,
the freedom to
yes.
do what you believe.
That's right. That's what it means to have religious freedom in America.
Yes.
And if we're not for everybody's religious freedom, we're not for our
that's
own
right.
religious freedom. All right?
But there
so,
is no
so
such
that's respect
thing.
Of everybody. Now, how about this? If I pray to the non-existent God, number one, I'm offending God.
Yes.
I don't,
I'd
the
be
real
worried
God,
about that.
Jesus.
Yes.
See, I don't want to do that. And I'm not being true to who I am. See, I'm a Christian, so now I'm lying.
That's right, like Peter.
And I'm betraying God. I'm betraying myself. And see, here's another thing. This whole notion where everybody says, well, now we need to separate our religious life from our public life, and we need to leave our faith at the door if we run for president. You know, you can't do that. Mm. You can't. You're not a dichotomous person
yes.
like that. Might be dichotomous body and soul.
Yes.
Might be trichotomous. You know, there's a lot of people believe that. But I'm just saying, can't separate me from my faith. And let's have competition here. Let's have just outward competition. Jesus is going to win. You know that, right? Let's preach our message. Everybody else preach their message, and we'll see what happens. But here's the bottom line. Religion is offensive. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
Islam offends me. But unless they start shooting me, you know, he can pray to who he wants to, right?
Right.
Okay. Shalom only comes when Jesus comes. We've got to pray for that. See you next time. If we're here.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.